How do you respond when the unexpected happens? Particularly when the unexpected reveals just how out of control you are of really everything in your life. How do you respond when faced with political uncertainty, serious illness, maybe persecution for your faith? How do you respond when you just don't understand how a good God who's in control of everything could order things the way they are in your life? How you respond says a lot about your theology. We must prepare for the cancer diagnosis, for the unexpected, for the financial collapse, for the death of a close one. We don't know what we have to prepare for. But let me tell you that what we are going to do this morning, by looking beyond our circumstances, by looking beyond ourselves back to the cross, will prepare you better for the unknown than any plan or contingency plan you could come up with. Because it will help you, it will help me respond in the most God-glorifying manner possible with faith. So right now, what I want to do is take us back to one of the church's first challenges. Jesus has gone up to heaven. The disciples are here. The helper's here, right? The Holy Spirit. And the apostles, they're preaching. And we're going to go to Acts 4. Take a glimpse at the theology and the practice that undergirded their response in the midst of the unexpected and the difficult. So in Acts 3, right, we see that Peter, he preaches his awesome sermon. Then Acts 4, Peter and John are before the council and they're told to not speak in this name. Stop telling people about Jesus. And they respond with a supernatural boldness, right? They respond not with fear, not with anxiety, not with questioning, but with a supernatural boldness. And how? Why? Why in the midst of really what could be death threats? And we see very shortly thereafter, many of these men are picked off one by one, becoming martyrs. How could they respond with boldness? Well, we see it. Go to Acts 4:23. They're released. They go back to the followers, probably still on an adrenaline high. They go back to their friends, Acts 4:23, and they report what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And you can imagine that if the religious rulers of the nation just said, stop talking about Jesus, or else, what would your natural response be? My natural response would likely be something somewhere between anxiety and anger. Wouldn't yours? It's easy to read back into the Bible because we know these are the 12 apostles. These are the superheroes of the faith. This is scripture, but look, put yourself back here. Jesus is gone. Don't preach or else. And you come back. What do you do? And now put yourself on what you're going to be facing leaving here. What are the unknowns that are going to hit your life? We don't know, but they're going to tempt you to those same two responses. Anxiety or anger. And the thing that they did is the thing that we must do this morning. They reminded themselves of God's sovereignty, and they reminded themselves of God's goodness. That theology will protect you, and it will protect me. When you get the cancer diagnosis, the financial collapse, when you're tempted to anxiety in the political sphere, whatever trial is going to come your way. So look what they do. Acts 4:24. They heard what the elder, what the chief priests and elders had said, and they lifted their voices together to God, and they said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his anointed.'" And this is where I want you to look. They start by reminding themselves, 424, "God, you are the sovereign one who made everything. You are still on the throne." And when the greatest apparent evil was perpetrated on mankind, look what they remind themselves of. That good God was still on the throne. "For truly in this city, we're gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel." Right, there were wicked people involved for sure. And they were gathered against God's anointed himself. What were they gathered to do? "To do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." And then they prayed for boldness. This was not a prayer to remind God of something that he had forgotten. Right? They go to God in prayer, recalling who God is to themselves. And I want us to do that this morning. We're going to get a piece of bread and a cup with juice. Physical reminders of what God did in his sovereign goodness for us. Right? God is in control, and he used that to align all of history so that his son could be born, grow, die on a cross, so that if we would believe, we would have our sins forgiven, righteousness imputed to us, and we can be with him forever. So that same sovereignty, that same goodness that the apostles, the disciples reminded themselves of, that was in control at the cross, that same sovereign goodness is on the throne, regardless of what political candidates we have running for president, regardless of what illness you have in your family or whatever else happens. But we're prone to forget. By God's Spirit, we can respond in faith to those things. I want to put before you and before my own heart the object of that faith, where God is most clearly presented in all of his sovereignty and all of his goodness, and that's the cross. So if you're a believer today, take that bread and juice and reflect on all that God reveals himself to be. He certainly reveals many more of his traits, of his characteristics and sovereignty and goodness, but those two things were displayed clearly at the cross. Recall those. Maybe where you're anxious, recognize that you might not be trusting in God's goodness, or you might not be trusting in his sovereignty. Maybe there's anger over your circumstances. Repent. But do that looking back at the cross, where he provided forgiveness and demonstrated so clearly, so graciously who he is to us. Men, can you come forward? Serve the bread and the juice. So if you're a Christian, take this. Remember, it doesn't matter what kind of week you've had. This isn't a proclamation of yourself. It's a proclamation of God and who he is. And if you're not a believer, please let the bread and juice pass. This time's not for you. But please don't leave here without talking to me today.